Welcome to Radio Rehab. I'm your host, Dana. If you would like to contact us, the email is radiorehab@gotoproductions.com. If you want to be on the show, if you know somebody who wants to be on the show, or you know somebody who should be on the show, you should write us. Or you can call us, 415-496-9511, even when we're not in studio, on Facebook, Instagram. I said Instagram, didn't I?
Sure did.
You know what? Don't even edit that out. People need to know how badly I suck at life. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's at Radio Rehab Dana. Today, we're back in studio with our good buddy, Mike, who I've wanted to be on the show for a long time and who is a dear friend of mine. I just want to add this story to the mix because it's important to vouch for Mike's character. Even when he was drinking, he was a solid dude. Like, even back then, despite the circumstances, he was a great guy. There's one night that we all remember because it was a radio partying night. There was an event happening. We were all drunk. I showed up to the event late because I had been on air until like midnight, I guess, right?
Right.
And everybody was used to me being drunk at the party, so it didn't occur to anybody that it might be weird, the level of drunk that I was. We were at a bar drinking, and your friend Amy and I both got, well, it was one drink. One of us was meant to get dosed, but we split the drink.
Right.
And I just remember everybody going, oh, that's Dana. She's drunk. It totally makes sense.
Yeah, Dana's totally
on the
fine. Her eyes are rolling to the back of her head.
Yeah, they're like, she always looks like that. You know, it's midnight on a Friday.
She's always letting people grab her.
Yeah, which, you know, could be the case, but that night I was dosed. Luckily, we split it. So Amy and I were both out of it. But so our buddy Mike carries me, or has somebody carry me over their shoulders. It was one of the crew.
And mind you, this was this event was actually at the main
Fairmont.
Event was at the Fairmont.
But then we're in Chinatown. We were in a dive bar in Chinatown by that point.
We had partied with these, for myself, this is my sense, is it was actually a number one party. It was a party to celebrate our morning show being number
right.
one at the time. And so I was hitting
for
it pretty
me, it
hard.
For me, it was an excuse to drink, so
right.
I don't know.
For me, it was, hey, let's, you know, party hard and have a good time. They were giving us rooms at the Fairmont. And so these were like super strong, like $20 Tonga Room heavy alcohol drinks.
Well, our buddy Mike had me carried to the room that was his, made sure I was okay, and they left me there. And I woke up the next morning having no idea how I had gotten there, and there was a note that said, Dana, Mike Nelson rented this room for that you're staying in. Please don't destroy anything. If you need help, call this number. So the first thing I do is call you, and I'm like, dude, who is Mike Nelson? And you were like, oh, my God, dude, Mike Nelson is no name. And I'm like, oh, it never occurred to me that he had a name. But what a nice guy that he did that. He had a tribe of people, half of them girls, to make sure I was okay, take me to that room, and left me there. And I could have woke up in the middle of the night, invited a bunch of ne'er-do-wells into that room, and destroyed it, and it would have been on him. And so that's why he's just the nicest guy in the world.
He's taken, he's taking care of me on both ends.
Yeah.
Like my 30th birthday, we had a bar night and it was the two of us, and he basically announced to the crowd, this person's turned 30 years old today, so I want you guys all to buy her a shot for every year of her life. And so I was like, people were just giving me tequila shots.
It's amazing. You're not one of us.
And at that point, I woke up on a beanbag in his basement.
What? Okay, see, he's everyone's older brother. He's
yeah,
like
and then well, they're so kind. Like his wife Christy, she came downstairs with a bottle of Pedialyte, and then
oh.
she was just like, "I heard you had a good night last night," and I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know how I got here. I think my car's still in Roanoke Park," and then she's like, I knew somebody had a good night when the limo dropped you guys off and the door opened and I just heard left foot, right foot.
Oh my God.
And then they took it. Hey, Mike just is, he's my big brother.
Yeah, and he's a great person, and I like to call him Pep Talk Mike, because he doesn't know that he's also my life coach. Like, when I ask him a question, I do what he says. Like, the guy gives the best advice, and he's always just such a positive person. He's always positive and pumped up and, like, energetic about life, and it's like he's just really a great friend to have and a great person, and I'm just so happy to have him on the show, and
PMA,
I'm so happy,
man.
We're both sober. What did you say?
PMA. When I first met him, when he auditioned for the morning show that we worked on together, that was the first thing he said on his audition, on one of his audition morning shows.
Are you going to tell us what the fuck PMA means?
Positive mental attitude.
No way. He said that back then?
Back then.
He's always been positive.
He's
guy.
Like, you got to go awesome. Around with a PMA, man. PMA. And I'm like, what the hell is a PMA? And he's like, positive mental attitude.
Oh, my God. I love it. Well, let's find out today how Mike got sober. And I wish more people could be like Mike.
Welcome to Radio Rehab. Here's your host, Dana Keys.
What happened at the end that what clicked with you? What made you go, I can't do this anymore?
You know, I think it was kind of one of those things that, like, it was building. You know, I think that, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, it's funny, I try to like have a real clear reference of what exactly happened. but I think it was one of those things where, like, you know, deep down inside, I knew, like, you know, like I probably wasn't being that healthy and probably not behaving, you know, as I should be. Like, you know, I mean, like, I think for a long time, like, you know, like how many times can you dodge bullets? How many times can you like, you know, get away with shit, you know what I mean?
Or and say that prayer like, oh, please let me get through this, you know, and then I will never do it again. And then you do it like 10 more times.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, my life is getting, you know, I started having kids and I started having a family, and like, you know, when you're taking care of your kid and like you're literally like holding the baby going like, oh fuck, don't drop the baby. And then like thinking like, all right, cool, man, like I'm a good parent because I got home at 4 a.m. and I woke up at 6 to feed the kid. And I didn't drop the baby, and I didn't throw up on the baby. So, like, I'm being a pretty good dad right now. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, fucking right on, man. You know, but even then, like, I was like, yeah, that's not that cool. You know what I mean? Like, and then, like, yeah, man, you know, and then I just had, like, you know, one day where, like, you know, I went over the line and I went to the emergency room. And, you know, it was really kind of, you know, my wife. You know, she never said, you know, she partied with me. Like, she comes from a big family of partiers, and she was never down on my drinking. She was never like, you know, you got to cut back, you got to chill out. Like, no lecture, nothing. You know what I mean? And, but, you know, so she picked me up from the ER, and she was just like, hey, man, you know, like, dude, this isn't normal, you know? And I, you know, because it was like, you know, 4 in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon, like on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'd already drank so much that I had to go to the emergency room, like call the ambulance, you know? You know, and part of me was like, I don't know, like, it's not normal, but like, I know a lot of friends that go to the hospital because they party too much. Like, you know, it's like not normal, but it happens, you know? But like, I kind of knew that's what she wasn't saying, you know? And I remember she was just like, yeah, you know, like something's got to change, you know? And like, when she said that, I was just like, fuck, she's right. Is she right? I know she's right, you know? And, you know, so I knew she was right, and I knew I was fucked. Like, I knew, like, I was like, she's fucking right. Like, I am doomed. Like, if I don't, like, you know, the events of that day, like, if I don't stop drinking, like, I'm going to fucking die. Like, there's, like, it was just, you know, it was a horrific chain of events. And, you know, and it was just your average day. You know what I mean? And so, like, you know, like, I, for whatever reason, like, something was just like, you know, dude, do you want to live? Like, do you want to live? You know, and really kind of, you know, it was really weird. You know, I kind of, like, that morning I started drinking really early, and we had a promotion, and some dude showed up with a bunch of like pot cookies, and I was eating those, and you know, I had like this kind of like this like break from reality, and it was weird. Like what happened was I finally got a ride home, and I was like in the back of this car, and then I kind of like passed out or like whatever, like had this kind of like, I mean, you know, and it was funny, like people were like, oh, that was just the weed fucking with you, man, you know? And I'm
oh,
like,
oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like,
exactly,
that's cool.
What
like,
we
yeah,
say.
Yeah. And my point is like, I don't care what the fuck was fucking with me. It's right. Like, it's like the outcome was I got to fucking chill the fuck out.
Like, you got to get rid of the car. It's
yeah,
the car.
Yeah. And so like, you know, what happened was I was in the backseat of this car, and I remember like looking at the clock, and it was like, you know, you know, whatever time, you know, whatever, like, you know, 1:30, you know? And I remember, like, I closed my eyes after I looked at the clock. And then, like, the next thing I knew, like, I heard this, like, whoosh, 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 like, traffic going by. But I couldn't, like, open my eyes. And I was like, laying there. And I was like, what the fuck? And, like, so in my head, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how come I can't open my eyes? Like, what's that sound, you know? And then, so, like, in my head, I was like, oh, fuck. I know what happened. We got in a fucking car accident. And I'm, like, thrown outside of the car. And I must be on the side of the freeway. And I must, like, just be fucking, like, unconscious or, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
God.
You know what I mean? And so, but I could hear, like, the car, you know, the tires and shit. So I'm just, like, going, like, fuck, man. And then, like, I sat there and I was like, and it was, like, a long time. And I'm like, fuck, like, there should be an ambulance coming or, like, you know, like, in my head, I'm trying to figure out, like, what the fuck's going on. And I'm like, and then I remember I was like, oh, fuck, dude. I'm like, what if I'm fucking dead? Or, like, what if I'm, like in a coma right now and I can't move? Like, what if, like, fucking this is it? Like, I'm never going to open my eyes again, but, like, I'm going to be stuck in my head.
Oh, my God.
Kinda, you know, like, whatever.
You're the worst.
I mean, yeah, kind of like a, you know, kind of obviously tripping out. And I remember, like in that moment just going, like thinking, like, the purest thought I ever fucking thought was, like, if I can get home, I'll be okay. Like, if I can just get home, I'll be okay, you know? And I remember, like, kind of be like, you know, like, I don't know if I really, like, called out to God, but I was like, fuck God, like, if you can just get me home, I'll fucking be okay. Like literally that's what I fucking said. And then, like, I opened my eyes and, like, a minute had gone by and, like, we were pulling up to my house. And so, like, you know, and then I got up, and, you know, and I went inside, tried to get my shit together. And that's when my heart was stuck. Like, I was just fucking. And that's when we called the ambulance and shit. And then so, you know, whatever, you know, and then it was so humiliating going to the emergency room. These guys were like, dude, you're a fucking loser. You know, sorry, man, you know, fucking, you know, they're just like, whatever, you fucking
been there. Yeah,
you fucking loser. And I'm like wasting these guys' fucking time. And, you know, and so anyway, so when I got back home, right, like, my wife was like, dude, something's got to change. Like, this isn't normal. And, like, she was right, you know. And I also knew, like, it was just like this kind of moment where I was like, you know what, man, like, I made it back home. Like, whatever weird thing happened right there, like, I don't want to fucking go back there. Like, I don't want to fucking, like, I'm just over it, dude. Like, I just, like, my body, like, was not in good shape. Like, I just knew, like, you know, I couldn't go on. Like, I'd seen my friends burn out. I'd seen my friends die. And I just knew I was kind of on that path. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was on that trajectory. And I was just like, fuck this, you know, like, I was just like, I, you know, but at the same time, like, I didn't know anything about recovery. I didn't know anything about AA. I didn't really know anything about getting sober. I didn't know, like, I knew nothing. I didn't know this shit fucking existed. And so I was like, you know, like, someone might have said it, but I was like, Bill W, like, what the fuck is that? Like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, just had no context for it at all because I'd never known anyone who'd done it. And, but I remember, so I went down, I had this little office. I went down this office and I was like Googling, like, drunk motherfucker, like, needs to stop partying, help, you know, whatever. And so, like, I started reading all this stuff and it was all, like, talking about, like, being an alcoholic. And I was like, oh, dude, that's me. Like, you know, like, everything I read, I was just like, it was like more and more bumming me out. Like, I'm like, I am fucked because this is me. So it's like, and I remember sitting there going, like, okay, so two things are happening. Either, like, someone has been secretly filming me and writing shit about me on like these blogs on this fucking internet, or, like, I'm a fucking alcoholic. You know what I mean? Like, it's like one or the other. Like, you know, and I remember just going, like, I remember just feeling so defeated and so just like helpless and just going, like, oh my God, dude, I am doomed. Like, I am doomed. I'm doubly doomed, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just so bummed. And I remember, like, reading this one thing, and it was like, you know, it's like, you know, most alcoholics can't recover by themselves. They need help, you know? And I remember I took a pen and I wrote, like, can't do by myself, like, need help on a piece of paper, you know? And so, like, I had that. And then, like, and then there was like a AA website or something, and there was a meeting, like, super close to my house that next morning, you know, like at 9 or whatever. So I'm like, fuck, I'm going to go to that fucking thing and see what happens. Like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but fuck, I'm, you know, whatever, dude. Like I need, like, at that point in that office, I was like, I need to stop drinking for the rest of my life. And this is where apparently fucking people like me go. So right. I'm just going to go and see what this fucking is all about. So, like, I went and it was all, like, you know, super fucking goofy. There's all these people talking about, like, their problems and, like, fucking how they're angry because they can't find their keys. And, like, they were talking about everything but fucking alcohol, you know?
Right.
And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this, dude? Like, I'd never been to therapy before. I'd never, like, You know, like, this was just fucking weird, dude. But, you know, I didn't really care because I was just like, you know what? And, you know, like, all the basic shit, dude. Like, he coming back, blah, 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 blah. Like, all the basic shit. And I was just like, you know what, man? Like, fuck it. Like, this is where people go. This is what they fucking do. Like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, this is what I got to do. And there was a guy, Matt, after that meeting, he came up to me. And he was just like, hey, man. He's like, you okay? You look kind of freaked out in there, man. And I'm like, yeah, dude. I got to the ER last night. And, like, I was still throwing up. And I was just, like, not doing good. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like I feel horrible and stuff. And he kind of, like, three-stepped me. He's like, well, you know, are you an alcoholic? I'm like, yeah, man. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. He's like, do you never want to drink again? Like, you know, he's just like, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, yeah. I'll do whatever it takes. Fuck, man. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, I remember he gave me a blue book. He wrote the date in it. And then I remember he's like, listen, man, he goes, you got to understand something. He goes, if you never want to drink again, you don't have to, you know? And I remember there's something to that effect. And I remember, like, kind of like looking at him and, like, those words, like, froze and kind of, like, floated through the air. And I was like, never have to drink again. Like, if I don't want to, like, never. Like, and I was just like, I had never thought of that. Even when I went there, like, I was like, I just never thought of it in those terms of, like, I'm never going to drink a beer again. Like, are you fucking crazy? Like, I just, yeah. You know, like, but, like, that's where I was at, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, yeah, like, I just don't, like, I'm not into this anymore. Like, I've done this. Like, I've drank too much liquor, you know what I mean? Like I've had my fill. Like, I'm done. I'm retired. I'm over this shit, you know? And, but that was a really profound moment, man. And, you know, and he was just like, hey, just come back, read this fucking book. And so, you know, I read the book. And then, like, I ordered every piece of AA literature you could possibly, like, I mean, like, shit that's, like, out of print. I went on eBay. I was ordering fucking, like, shit that guys wrote on a napkin in the 70s. Like, I was like, because I just couldn't believe.
You just want to soak all of it in.
Dude, I just couldn't believe. Like, I was reading all these books and all this stuff's, like, all about, like, how I behaved and about how I lived my life and the things that the way I looked at things, you know? And,
yep.
And this is before, like, you know, like, identifying character defects and, you know, doing, like, this is before any work was done. It was just like, I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, my mind was fucking blown. Like, I was like, I cannot believe this. I can't believe these books are written. I can't believe that these people exist. I can't believe there's so many fuck-ups like me. This is unbelievable, you know?
Yeah, millions.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and it was awesome. And you know, and the cool thing about it was, like, you know, like, everyone there was just for the same reason, you know? They just don't want to drink anymore, and they just support each other in that. And that's, you know, it's funny, like AA and recovery programs get, like, all this, like, weird shit, and it can be really complex. And there were a lot of times, dude, like, early on, like, first year or two, where, like, I get really overwhelmed, and I start, like, doubting myself, like, am I into this? Like, am I... You know, like, I don't know. I can't remember all those prayers by heart still, you know? And, like, I don't know, like, fucking, like, you know, sometimes I got to read the fucking thing off the wall because it's not me, you know? And I get all, like, you know, I think, like, people are in the room looking at me like, yeah, he's not really taking this serious and, like, judging me and shit. And I get all, like, kind of paranoid, like, dude, am I going to drink again because this, you know, da, da, da. You know, and it really just comes down to, like, you know, to this day, like, and every day is, like, did I not drink today, you know? You know, like, the point is, like, if I'm sober, the magic's working, you know, and, mm-hmm. And you know, I have a pretty lazy program. You know, I try to be of service, but, you know, I'm a lazy motherfucker, dude. I mean, I you know, period, you know. And so a lot of times it comes down to just, you know, am I staying sober? Like, am I, you know, are my character defects in check? You know what I mean? Am I not, like, insane? You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
And just keeping it really simple. And it's and that's what's worked for me, is just keeping it really super simple. You know what I mean? Just, you know, 24 hours at a time. And just, I don't think about, like, years. I don't think about birthdays a lot. I don't think about that shit, man. Like, I'm just like, how am I doing today, dude? Cool. You know, am I able to deal with situations without, you know, thinking about drinking? Yes, good. Keep doing what I'm doing. Keep it simple, you know. And I also think that, you know, there was a bigger plan. Like, you know, I got sober, and then a couple years later, my wife got diagnosed with breast cancer. And, like, I know for a fact that, like, if I was still partying the way that I partied while dealing with, like, cancer and all this stuff, I would not be in the relationship that I'm in right now. Like, I would not have been available emotionally to be there for her and my family. And so, like, that's one of the biggest blessings, is just, you know, being able to deal with real shit without going and getting fucked up. You know what I mean? And to me, like, that's the biggest thing, is, like, you know, like, shitty stuff's still going to happen even though you're not drinking. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, I can say that, like, all all the things, good or bad, like nothing would be better if I was drinking. And I still, I have a lot of friends that still party like madmen. I love them. And, you know, they always see me and they're like, dude, you're still not partying? And I'm like, dude, guess what, man? If life was worse, I'd be partying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like straight up. Like if things were worse or things were more complicated or things were sucky, like, yeah, I'd go have a 12-pack and I'd say, fuck all this, man. But,
hell yeah.
But, like, life is significantly better because I'm able to be here, you know, and I'm able to look at things with kind of a clear mind and I'm not clouded, you know, and that's affected every aspect of my life, you know, my personal relationships, you know, especially with my family, you know, I mean, raising two boys, it's like, you know, like there is no doubt that if I didn't get sober, like my kids would have grown up in that household where it's like, you know, kegs in the garage all the time, 3-day parties every weekend. They would have been drinking by now, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like, it would have been the thing when, like, when they were like 15, like they would have been drunk, stole a car, died in a car crash, DUI,
right?
And like nobody would have been surprised. It's like, yeah, those guys were partying since they were 10. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you know, so when you know with the kids with that factor, like you know when you have a kids, it's like wow, like you kind of like you can be a role model for these kids, and you can kind of teach them how to be a different person, you know, than I was, and maybe not make the same mistakes. And so that's been like a huge blessing, is just to be like, you know, and like I always tell them, like, hey man, like you can do what you want to do, like you can have the freedom of choice. I'm not telling you can't drink, or you can make your decision, but this is what it did, and this is how it affected my life, you know. Yeah. And you know, to see them kind of like growing up, like by the time, like, you know, I was my kid's age, like I was bartending my parents' parties. Like I was totally already partying.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not into it. Like they're not, like it's just not part of the reality. And so like part of me is like, it's that whole thing of like, I never knew that was an option. Like I never knew like you could actually live a life without alcohol in it. Right. But like I'm giving them that opportunity, or at least starting their life. Like, hey man, like, you know, and just explain things to them that like no one ever explained to me. Like, dude, there's like millions and millions and billions of dollars encouraging you to drink constantly everywhere you go. Like everything that we do, it's like, come over and have a beer. Let's go have a business cocktail. Let's fucking go wine tasting. Let's fucking go to the ballpark and have a beer, not a hot yeah. dog. It's just like everything bombards you from the youngest age of like party, 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 or drink, 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 drink. And it's like, that's cool. That's awesome. Like, I'm not anti it, but it's like, it's also cool, like, just to be like, you don't got to buy into that bullshit, dude. Like, you can do what you want to fucking do. And that's, you know, that's been a great reward, is just like, you know, giving my kids that option that, like, I'm not saying I didn't have it. I just, you know, was unaware, and I just, you know, I don't know. My path was just different. But just to say, like, hey, dude, like, partying and all this shit, like, people do it. You're going to have plenty of opportunities to do it, but, like, you don't have to do it. You know, yeah. There's other ways to live a life. And that's something that, like, you know, has been pretty cool so far. So, you know, talk to me in a year or two, I'll probably be like, oh, fucking kid.
No, that's awesome. Because, like, I had my story was different because my dad was in AA. He got sober when I was, like, 10 and a half. And so it's like I always knew there was this other thing I could be doing. I just didn't want to I didn't want to be into that. I didn't want to be into anything.
Because your dad was into it, dude. No
yeah,
one wants to do
exactly,
it with their
dads.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And that's, like, you know, like for my, like, with my kids, like, that's the thing. Like, the thing I'm most grateful for, you know, that AA exists and that it's there for people. So it's like the way I look at, like, you know, my kids, it's like they can do whatever the fuck they want to do. Like they can be in a fucking alcoholic or whatever, but like I can always go to them and be like, dude, there's an option. There's a way out of this, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I mean, and you know, like on occasion, like I'll get a call from somebody, like a good friend or a buddy of a buddy. And they're like, hey dude, you know, my friend is fucked up. He wants to quit drinking, you know, like, can you talk to him? And like, I'm always like, yeah, man, absolutely, dude. Like, you know, and just saying, hey dude, like, it's okay to retire from this shit, man. Like, it's okay. You know, it's like you don't need to be the last man standing, like, as the sun sets when you're 90 holding the can of Budweiser in your hand. Like, it's okay yep. to put it down, dude. It's okay. And when I first got sober, I didn't feel that way. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, what am I going to do with my time? Like, how are bars going to survive?
Oh, my God.
You know what
God.
I mean? Like this is all I did for a long, long time. Like, what am I going to fucking do?
It's what am I going to do every day? Because they say, like, one day at a time. I wrote on my hand when I first got sober this time, I wrote, not right now, because I could only go 1 minute.
Yeah.
I could only be like, okay, I don't have to drink right now, but in 5 minutes, I might want to drink and I might go do it.
Yeah.
So I just had to keep looking at I wrote it every day on my hand.
Yeah.
It was like a 1 second at a time kind of thing for me.
Yeah. And that's fine. You know, I mean, I remember, like, you know, early in my sobriety, I was still working at a lot of bars, doing a lot of promotions, you know, and that was really, you know, that was pretty challenging, you know, but it's like, you know, I would just always say to myself, like, what's more important, like me or like you know, drinking with some dude or like making money promoting a beer brand. It's like, no, my life, you know? And I mean, I remember dudes coming to me, come on, man, let's do a shot. Let's do that. I was like, nah, dude, like, I'm good. Come on, man, like, just one beer, you know? And I'd be like, and I just look at him and go, dude, you clearly don't know me. Why the fuck would I just drink one beer?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, man.
Like yeah, they might have two shots, but it's like people like you and me are going to finish the bottle and then go home and then another bottle. And
party
then, you know,
for effect, dude. Come
exactly.
on, man.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you know, so like, I don't know, like, and it was just kind of weird. Like, there was a lot of, like awakening and kind of, you know, when alcohol leaves your life, I mean, there's a lot of shit that goes on, man. I mean, and like I said, like, you know, realizing like how much time I spent partying and money and like, I mean, it was just so bizarre, you know, and like living sober was like not a challenge, but it was like kind of like reinventing myself. And I was also had a lot of self-doubt. Like I was like, you know, like I do like a pretty public job and like, you know, you got to be on. And I was like, am I even able to do this? Like, you know, who am I? Like who am I without this? And you know, what I found and what I believe, and I could be wrong, but like, the better opportunities opened themselves up for me. And I was a better employee. I was a better, you know, I was better executing what I was supposed to execute, you know, like I was just on my game more, you know what I mean? And so like that was also rewarding where it was like, oh, I can still do all the shit that I used to do.
Right.
Like I'm basically the same person, right? I'm just like not like I'm in control of who I am, you know, and that feels great. That's like a very liberating, empowering thing, you know, and it's truly a blessing, you know what I mean? And you know, I mean, and that's the thing, like when you think about recovery programs, it's like, okay, what are they about? Is there like some kind of like, is there a bunch of mumbo jumbo and a bunch of like weird sayings and a bunch of stupid shit that gets said and a bunch of like drama sometimes? Yeah, but
hell
it's
yeah,
like,
there is.
Yeah,
but
of course.
But there's sobriety too.
But what is it really about? It's about a bunch of people that don't want to drink anymore and are trying to be better people, period. Like, I mean,
that's what it boils down to.
So to me, it's like, all right, like that, I'm down with that. I'm down with people that are into that. Like, that's cool. Like, that's, like, you know, and especially when you realize, like, you know, and I've seen a lot of guys get sober. It's like, you know, I always say, man, like, hey, dude, welcome to the club, dude. Like, you made it. You retired, dude. Like, think about this. Like, you drank so much fucking alcohol that, like, now you want to go to meetings and shit and read about fucking drunk people. And, like that's how much you partied. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, like, you have to party a lot. A lot to have this be the like better option.
I know.
You know,
like I've had to party that much that I have to spend 10:30 on Saturday morning at a meeting, hanging out with a woman who's like 87 years old, and she's one of my favorite people. It's like, who'd have thought that would happen?
And you meet a lot of cool people, man. I mean, you know, and it's, you know, and I think that, you know, this is the thing that, you know, for whoever's listening to this, I mean, you know, especially, I mean, I don't know, maybe a lot of people who are in recovery listen to this, but maybe some people that don't, you know, everyone's recovery is different. Everyone's program's different. There aren't any fucking rules, man. You know, and that's what I fucking love about it. It's like, hey, man, you know, what's working for you? What's keeping you sober? Fucking keep doing that. Keep fucking doing that. I mean, just keep doing that. And it's all good. I mean, can you have a better sobriety? Yeah. Like, you know, like we can all be better people. We can all work on things. But number one, man, if you're not fucking drinking, you're fucking winning, dude.
Yeah.
Period. You know, and obviously, you know, we want to kind of evolve and take things to the next level and, you know, be a more kind of like level headed person. We don't want to be dry drunks and shit like that. But, you know, when it comes down to it, man, it's like I just that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Like it's like keep it simple. Find a program that works for you. And, you know. You know, take baby steps, man, little by little, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, well, like, I mean, at least this is how I felt. I remember, like, you know, like when I was first getting sober, like maybe at a year, and I'd be around a guy that had 10 years, I'd be like, wow, like, that guy must know something I don't.
Right, or no. I'll never have 10 years.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's like, you can't even think down the next week.
Yeah, but, like, you know, like the fact is, like, that, you know, that guy just has more time. That doesn't mean shit, man.
Yeah, you could both be drunk tomorrow.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know, and I mean, you know, and you may be sober, like, for 2 years and have a way better sobriety than him, you know, and that's fine. But that's my point. It's like that's one of the things I always try to stay away from is like the comparing, like, you know, like, like I'm always like, hey man, like, yeah, he may be fucking like, you know, I may be like impatient and showing all my character defects, but you know what? I'm not fucking drinking. So fuck you. You
yeah, know exactly. what I mean? Like, you know. No, I look at people who came in there like, you know, they've got 20 years and they're like, I came in and the desire to drink was gone and I've never drank. And I'm like, well, that's not my story. I relapsed and I had to go through some shit to come back here.
You made it back though. Most people don't. I mean, like, exactly. That's the thing, man. Like, listen, anytime someone comes back, man, that's fucking huge. That's like way crazier than anything. Like, it's like, you know, and I've had a lot of friends who've had a really hard time getting sober, and they kind of trip out on me like, dude, man, you just, like, did it. And I was just like, no, I didn't just do it. Like, there was a lot of work that got into it. But I was ready, man. And the point is, like, I always think that when people relapse and stuff, they just weren't ready, man. And that's okay. It doesn't matter, dude. Like, it's okay. It doesn't mean they don't benefit from even temporary sobriety. Like, it's better than nothing. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't mean they lose everything they learned during the time that they put together.
Yeah, it's a fucking riddle, dude. I mean, it's a riddle. And, you know, I mean, you know, and my point is, like, it's huge when people come back because maybe this time it'll stick, man, you know, and it's just, you know, and... You know, I mean, yeah, like you said, we all have 24 hours, dude, and it's like I'm no more fucking sober than a guy who's had a day.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like today was a good day. I haven't drank. Fucking thank God. And I'm going to try to make tomorrow a good day, too. Like, simple as that.
One thing you said that I love is because the first thing you said was, oh, wait, I don't have to drink again. And because I remember the first time I tried to get sober, I heard it differently. I heard you can't ever drink again. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I'm, you know, future tripping and thinking about, oh, what happens when I'm 30? What if I get married? I'm going to want champagne. All these stupid things are coming through my head. But now this time when I got sober, I heard it the way you heard it, too, when you came in, which is you don't have to drink.
Yeah. You know,
you
I mean,
you can if you want to. Yeah. Your misery will be gladly refunded to you.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The one thing that was really cool about, you know, a lot of the people, like, you know, I was lucky enough to have some people in my life that had been sober for a long time and were kind of just like waiting in the wings to kind of be like, hey, dude, fucking, you know, about time.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it funny how the sober people come out of the woodwork and you're like, oh, you were sober? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, like no one's making me do this. Nobody's like, you know, it's a choice, man. And that's the other thing I like about it, too. Like, no one really gives a fuck, dude. Like, everyone's kind of, like, they're there to help you out. But, like, do what you want to do, bro. Like, you want to go fucking drink your face off? Like, go. Like, I don't, you know, like,
right.
Whatever, dude. That's you. You know what I mean? It's not a good idea, but they're not going to, like, you know, force you to do shit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's funny how you, the longer you stick around and the longer you stay sober, the more you just want to. It's like, I used to hate going to meetings when I was in my early 20s, you know, because I wasn't ready. And it's like, now I love it. Like, I love everything about being sober. There's some things that I'm like, oh, come on with that, you know? But it's like, for the most part, I just love everything about being sober.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, as years go on or time goes on, it's always important to remember, like, how you were and how you felt. And, like, I specifically remember, like, you know, always going to bed with the room spinning and feeling like I was going to throw up. And, like, that's how I'd end my day, you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's like, not normal. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of like weird, you know, like to think about it. It's like, I never want to feel that way again. Like, I don't want to feel the way that I felt, you know, because my life is better now. And it's that simple, man. I mean, there's a better way of life, you know, for me anyway. I mean, you know, it's just a better way of life, you know, and it's working. So.
And it's hard to see that sometimes when you're in the thick of it, because you just get used to the misery. Like you said, like you get used to gagging and puking every time you brush your teeth.
Or, yeah, man. Like,
know,
I mean, I
was used to feeling nauseous.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like, I remember, like, I didn't understand, like, you know, I would go party and then, like, 2 days later, I would start throwing up.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember, like, I had to go to traffic school for something and they did a whole thing on, like, DUIs and drinking. And I remember, like, the guy's like, do you ever, like, throw up, like, 2 days after you partied real hard? And I was like, yeah, man. Like, fuck, I do it all the time. And, like, he was explaining, like, the guy's like, you know why that happens? And I was, like, in the back, like, what the fuck? Like, everyone's sleeping at traffic school. I'm like, What's going on? Yeah. And he's like, you know, what happens is, like, you drink so much alcohol that, like, your liver can't process the alcohol. So that this is what happens when you black out, too, is that the alcohol starts going up your spine and then gets into your brain, basically. And it takes, like, it can take, like, a day or two for all that alcohol to, like, come back out of your body. And so you're basically, like, your body's toxic. Like, you're basically alcohol poisoning. So, like,
oh,
you'll throw
up. Oh, my
God,
you're literally poisoning yourself.
Yeah, like, you'll throw up, like, way after, you know, like, you've been, like, you're not drunk anymore, but you start throwing up. You know, and I remember I was all like, oh, wow, like, I totally do that all the time. I'm like, that's fucking crazy. You know, I mean, I still partied for years after that. But I remember just kind of being like, wow, that's nuts, man. Like, that's crazy. Like, you drink more than your liver can handle. And so it just goes to other parts of your body and, like, blacks out your brain. Like, that's fucking nuts, man. That's like, you're drinking a lot, you know?
I know. That's That's totally crazy. I didn't know that it like climbed your spine and poisoned your brain.
The guy might have said that just to be dramatic.
I believe it because that's how I felt. Like I remember wishing I never heard about hair of the dog because like that's how I thought. Oh, if you're sick in the morning, you should drink. Like that's crazy thinking.
Yeah,
but that's total alcoholic thinking. But yeah, it's like if somebody told me, you know, if somebody would have told me like 10 years ago that I could feel as good as I feel right now, I would not have believed them.
Yeah.
Like, that I would just be walking down the street, I have no chemicals in my system, and I just feel good, and I'm not on anything, and I'm not drunk.
Yeah, my hips and back hurt a lot, so I don't know.
my body's starting to hurt a little bit, like, from lifting weights, and I know that means I have to take yoga, which I'm dreading, because I hate yoga, and I want to like it, but I do, I the meditation part of the program isn't something I'm that good at yet.
Yeah.
So... you know, it's like stuff comes in time, and I'm not trying to pressure myself.
There's no rush, man. There's no rush, you know. And anyone that's listening to this that maybe thinks they might be done, I mean, just, you know, check it out, man. It's like, whatever. It's here.
Yeah.
You know, it's here. It's there.
It's always here.
It's been around
a
long fucking time, man. That was the other thing, too. Like, I was all stoked, like, reading all these crusty fucking guys. Like, there have been people getting so wasted that they wanted to stop drinking for so fucking long.
Oh my God. Since the dawn of time.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
But they started writing about it and they created a program about it
crazy.
In the 30s.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it's like, I mean, like, it's just, it's so crazy, you know? And it's, and I think that's the big thing too, is that I think a lot of people, like, especially like, you know, at least for me personally, like when I was like really into my drinking, like it was like, I was very proud of it. You know what I mean? So it's like to be defeated, to know that alcohol beat me was very like, it was just defeating, you know what I mean? And, like, all I'm saying is, like, it's okay, man. Like it is okay. Like, there's a kinder, gentler way. It's, like, easy, dude. Like, let someone give you a hug. Let someone take that fucking shit off your shoulder. Because I remember, man, I fucking remember when that guy said that to me, you never have to drink again. And he's like, and I was like, dude, I want to stop. And I remember, like, after that conversation, like, I felt like a 70,000-pound weight. Like, physically, I felt like something had been taken off my back. Like, literally... like just the mental thought of me like getting rid of all this shit, right? Like getting rid of like the alcohol in my life and all the fucking shit that the time and everything that it occupied in my mental space. Like just knowing that like I can get rid of that, it was like I literally felt lighter. Like I was like, oh my God, like whoa, all right. I didn't know what was gonna happen next. I didn't know how I was gonna do it. I didn't know, like, I had no answers, but like I knew, like, all right, like I'll come back tomorrow because like that's what these fucking weirdos said to do.
That's what they're saying.
Like whatever. Like I, you know, and that's where I was at. I was at the point where like I didn't care. Like I didn't care what they suggested. I didn't care what I had to do. Whatever I had to do to stop drinking. Like that's what I'm doing. This is what I'm into now, and this is what I'm fucking doing.
Me too.
You know,
and it works.
Yeah.
And I implore everyone listening, if you haven't quit yet, just to know that there's a better way. And just try it. Just try it. If you don't like it, you can go back to drinking. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But thank you so much for being on the show.
I can't believe I haven't been on this before.
I can't either. Kinda, I know.
It's like, this is episode like, what, 7,000?
This is like episode 7,000, literally.
Crazy.
No, I know. Like, I think it's so cool that we work together. You know, it's like you're like family to me. We're both sober. It's awesome.
That is like the coolest thing is, you know, and like I said, like I was talking about that kind of circle of partiers before. Like I've seen a number of them kind of be like, yeah, I'm tapping out, bro. You know, and it's like, yeah, cool, man. Like, yeah, dude. Like, yeah, absolutely, man. Like, it's all good, dude. Like, you know, and sometimes I think it can be as simple as that, is like hearing someone that you know, right? Just saying, like, dude, it's okay not to party anymore. Like, it's totally cool.
Like
you,
wait, I know that guy. Yeah. I relate to that guy.
Like, you put your decades in, man. Like, you put your time in, dude. Like, no one says you can't do this shit. Like, you've done it. It's cool. It's okay. Like life is pretty short, right? And so, like, I partied till I was, like, 37. And I started drinking when I was, like, in probably fifth grade. So, like, that's a long time to do something, right?
Yeah.
So, like, why not try something different? Like, why not just, like... give it a shot. Like, just try a different way of living. Like, you know, like, what's the worst that can happen? You can just go back to doing what you did, but, like, why not give it a chance, you know?
You don't lose anything.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, thanks for being on the show, Mike.
Thank you, Dana.
Thanks to Mike for being on the show. Thanks to y'all for listening. If this is your first time listening and you like what you hear, please rate and subscribe to this podcast. It would mean so much to me. Also, if you want to hear old episodes, we've got a ton of them. What do we have, like 1,000 now? I don't know. Mike said there were 7,000 episodes. There's not. There's actually a few hundred, though. I'm pretty sure we have in the bank. And there's all different types of episodes that have to do with recovery. We've got all different types of stories. Mike's story is a very specific story, and I love it, and it's the first that we've had of that kind on this show. But there's a whole bank of other people's stories, and somewhere in it, you're going to find somebody you relate to, and you're going to find something you connect to, and that's what I hope happens here. Thank you for listening. Keep coming back.